Back-to-back Michael W. Smith songs on his 64th birthday. Why not? He's given us so much great music over the years. We're enjoying some of it here this morning. I don't know that every song between now and at least 7 is going to be Michael W. Smith, but we started that way. After a little Mariah Carey, Star Spangled Banner, WWIB. Secret Ambition, you ever see the Jason Cairns, Good Morning, best 5 minutes of the day. You ever see the video for that song?
I have not.
Yeah. No, it's good. It's good. I mean, kind of shows, you know, takes you to the cross, the secret ambition of Jesus, etc. So, all right, coming up on 14 before 6 and 56 degrees, Michael W. Smith, 64. He still has that kind of Dick Clark boyish look, though, right?
You know, I think he's going to be 90 and not look.
I know it.
I know older, it. You know, and I think, you know, I've been balding since my 20s, and a little bit of jealousy there. So
you just made the best of the week with that. There you go. So that's Friday mornings at 8:45, and we occasionally have contributions. Although I have to say, this is sometimes part of the more substantive portion of the 3.5-hour daily extravaganza known as the Wib Wake Up Show. So let's take it in that direction. I heard a conservative talk show host, not on our sister station WOGO, another Chippewa Valley station, yesterday afternoon, saying it was kind of lunging into the culture war and said, we'll always talk about the culture war. And I disagree. And there's three different things I want to put into our collective response. I've got two, but one is a brilliant thing that you came up with a few years ago. And I know you never hate being called brilliant, right? So I'm going to start off with Michael Horton is a wonderful thinker and writer. And one of his books was called Beyond Culture Wars. The subtitle is America, a Mission Field or a Battlefield? His quick point is, if you went to be a missionary, would your goal be, you know, to take over the government? No, it's like it's similar to what your perspective would be as a mission. He's like, this is a mission field, not a battlefield. He's like, good grief already. Get your thinking beyond culture wars, the culture war that it's us against them and our ideas. So that's the first thing I want to throw out there. What was your brilliant quote from a few years ago?
Yeah, are you talking about the with mindset?
Yes.
Yeah, so a few years ago, I wrote this down. You know, it's kind of how we deal from two different modes of relating, what I've called either an against or a with mindset.
And certainly, the culture war, if you buy into that, us against them, certainly you're an against mindset.
Yeah.
Right.
Yep. Yeah. So that against mindset is kind of a good, bad, right, wrong.
Yep.
Who's in, who's out, you know, competition or comparison. Whereas the idea I've had with this with mindset is that, you know, we're all connected, you know, rather than competing. We favor cooperation rather than comparison. We favor valuing others right where they are. You know, so often we work from this place of I'm right, you're wrong. My viewpoint is correct. Yours is incorrect.
Uh-huh.
And we fail to recognize how utterly dehumanizing that is.
Uh-huh.
You know, when we continue to view people as enemies, there are no winners, right? I mean, but there's only losers when we operate in that way. And, you know, I think we forget that Christ, you know, that God through Christ is redeeming all of creation, and he invites us to be a part of that, not by destroying other people, but by living lives of love. And so the culture war mindset, I think, is toxic and damaging to Americans, to the church.
Yeah, and even a lot of what you're saying there calls to mind a book by a former ABC News correspondent, James Wooten, the book We Are All the Same, the extraordinary story of Nkosi Johnson, the South African boy born with AIDS, whose stout-hearted insistence that every child's life is important brought great change to his country and made Nkosi, in Nelson Mandela's words, an icon of the struggle for life for millions of people in Africa and around the world. We are all the same. So I think one of the things, I remember talking to Stuart Briscoe one time. He said, hey, is your church seeker-sensitive? He said, well, it's sure better at least be seeker-friendly. He said, I preach the word and just let the Spirit minister it. We're all created in the image of God. We're all fallen. We're all redeemable, and we all have an eternal destiny. So We are all the same. So finally, the last ingredient I want to put in here in terms of my encouragement for us to think, don't fall for that bait of culture war and put your boxing gloves on, is this quote from many years back in the Christian faith, and that is, in essentials unity, in non-essentials freedom, and in all things love. That is so good, it's worth saying to yourself every day. If you're into tattoos, that wouldn't be a bad one. In essentials unity, and again, the question then becomes, you know, what are essentials? But in essentials unity, in non-essentials, please, in non-essentials, and there's a lot of them, freedom, and certainly something you champion as the creator of the word Ludio, love up, down, in, out, is in all things love, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. You know, it's so exhausting to carry that burden of having to be right all the time. And, you know, I think if we can really move to that place of love, of how do we love others, ourselves, God, and creation, man, that moves us in the direction I think we need to move as a society.
Yeah. So take off the boxing gloves today and think about, say, hey, I'm going to think higher, nobler. I'm beyond culture wars. So thank you, Jason.
Beautiful.
All right.
Talk to you tomorrow.
Well, there's all sorts of cold breakfast cereals out there, but the market's always ready to receive a new one, and we're getting word of a new one coming, right?
Yes, a collaboration between a fast food giant and a breakfast cereal giant. Kellogg's is teaming up with Wendy's, and more specifically the Wendy's Frosty, to create Wendy's Frosty Chocolatey Cereal, part of a healthy, balanced breakfast.
Now, I love Frosties, too. Haven't had one lately, but they are delish.
Oh, phenomenal.
And this sounds great to me. I mean, I think of, like, Cocoa Krispies. I mean, this seems like an offshoot. So.
A press release says that this Wendy's Frosty Chocolatey Cereal with Wendy's and Kellogg's teaming up will contain crispy, cocoa-coated round cereal bites along with chocolate-flavored marshmallows.
Mm.
And again, I love Lucky Charms. I thought it was really cool. The other day I mentioned the
you
Fruity
and Senator
Pebbles.
Ron Johnson, who said so on Rapid Fire on our air.
Indeed.
Right?
And so like when I found Fruity Pebbles the other day with the Lucky Charms marshmallows in there, phenomenal. So again, this appears to me sort of like I love Reese's Puffs, similar to a Reese's Puffs or a what is it, like Cocoa Puffs or whatever, with some chocolatey marshmallows in there as well. I try this. Absolutely. I'd brush my teeth early afterward, but I would try it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's I would for sure. And I threw it out to a couple of my girls because I heard this, saw this yesterday, and I was surprised that there wasn't, like, excitement. You know, at least one of them was down. One of them was like, eh. So I'm like, well, Dad's excited about it.
I know of my children, I can think of one who would be totally on board to try this. My eldest probably would say, but it's not healthy.
Uh-huh.
And my youngest... I'm not sure. She'd have to taste and see. But this comes out in December, apparently.
Okay.
And it also will give you a chance to score a free small Frosty on the Wendy's app whenever you buy a box as well, too. So even if the cereal's terrible, you get a Frosty.
So the name of the cereal is Wendy's Frosty Cereal?
Wendy's Frosty Chocolatey Cereal.
Huh. Okay. I will look for it. And maybe we'll have a sample tasting here on the air at some point.
Let's do it. Yeah.
All right, continue on with Michael W. Smith songs. We've had a lot of them already this morning. I mean, from Great is the Lord and Secret Ambition to The Wonderful Cross was our hymn of the morning. Mm. Cry for Love, Never Been Unloved, I'll Fly Away. Here I Am to Worship, The Heart of Worship, Sky Spills Over, Friends, This Is Your Time, and I'll Lead You Home so far. So if there's something you want to hear, let me know that we haven't played yet, 396-1670 at WWIB. In our wire service, Caleb, you know, not every contemporary Christian music artist gets listed. Michael W. Smith did.
Mm.
They say this then, okay? They say he is most known for his 1991 hit single, Place in This World. You know, it's interesting. It's a matter of perspective, right? Like maybe in the secular world, because that's one of the songs from him that crossed over.
Yeah.
And in fact, I'm not going to play his version. I'm going to go to the A Week Away soundtrack with
Kevin
Quinn and Bailey Madison. But it's interesting. This is the 30th anniversary of that song, and the movie was great.
Has anyone requested Rocket Town yet?
No, we got to get that one.
Yeah, I know Dallas Stewart loves that song.
Yeah, we've got that one coming up, plus Surrounded, which is fantastic, and Waymaker as well, WWIB. Michael W. Smith turned in 64 today, and we've had a great time, and heard from some listeners here in the late going about, hey, what about this or that, Mark? Thank you. With a suggestion for Love Me Good. We're going to start with that. And we're going to kind of try to montage it. I've got five songs up. We're going to squeeze in five songs in 9 minutes.
Let's
do it. That's not humanly possible, but we're going to try.
you might be attacked by the bears.
How about playing Gentle or Healing Rain from Michael W. Smith or Bridge Over Troubled Water?
Healing rain is coming down, is coming nearer to this old town. Rich and poor, and strong, it's bringing mercy, it won't be long. Healing rain is coming down, it's coming closer to the lost and found. Tears of joy, tears of shame, a wash forever in Jesus' name. Trouble.
All right, we want to talk a little tacos this morning. I guess taco seasoning and what are y'all? This is something we've touched on in the past, I guess.
Yeah, something to taco about. McCormick. So you know the spices brand. You probably have some in your kitchen right now. McCormick, we told you back in July, they were naming their first ever director of taco relations, and that director has been named. And I have no idea who this is, but we'll tell you what she gets to do. So food blogger Joe Luna of El Paso, Texas, accepted the title Monday, which coincidentally, maybe not coincidentally, fell on National Taco Day. Over the next 4 months of her contract, she will work with the McCormick team to create new seasonings, travel to taco restaurants all across the country, and explore taco-related trends. Back when we talked about this job description, it said this, Havel. This taco lover will travel across the United States to visit famous taco restaurants and chefs, as well as visit McCormick's global headquarters and kitchens to not only become familiar with the culinary and creative teams, but also take part in a taco immersion course.
Wow.
Heard about like foreign language immersion courses, a taco immersion course.
Hey, there you go.
And become familiar with the Lay's McCormick seasoning mixes so being developed.
It's not enough to say, hey, I've had tacos every Tuesday for years. That's not enough.
I don't know. Maybe you should have submitted a video. Here's the other kicker. This is a 4 month job. It pays $100,000.
Yeah, wow.
$100,000 to travel across the country talking to taco chefs and restaurants, eating tacos, and posting about it on social media.
So who's the winner?
The winner is Joe Luna from El Paso, Texas.
Huh.
She's a food blogger, and apparently that paid off.
That sounds like taco country.
Right? Yeah, El Paso. So yeah, there you go. And now, she travels across the country eating tacos and making $100,000 for it.
In 4 months.
That's good work if you can get it.
Not bad. She's going to be in a different tax bracket. Well, I mean, a lot of taco fans we have even listening to this show.
It's Taco Tuesday.
No, it's not. It's Thursday, actually.
Every day is Taco Tuesday.
He wants a burrito. It's close to a taco, but maybe similar.
I think this is true for many of us. There were certain things that we were taught when we were young kids and from very early on, and then tried to instill them in our children as well. Two words, and sometimes it was even say the magic word when it's as a toddler. It's I want this or give me that. It's what's the magic word? Well, what are the magic words? Please and thank you.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Common courtesy. Well, new research now shows that it pays to use those throughout life and not just when you're trying to get another cookie as a toddler. Specifically, a study from the University of New South Wales says the phrase thank you proved that those two little words provide, quote, a valuable signal that you are someone with whom a high quality relationship could be formed. In everyday speech, that means people like you more when you're polite.
Mm, yes, absolutely. I know that was key for me as a dad with those younger kids, and they're 16 to 21 now, but I mean, you try your very best to instill that. And if you're parents of young kids, you really want that because you're like in life, you're letting a person know, you know, with the word please, right? And there's some great like kids' stories out there to try to teach them that. And thank you that you appreciate it. I mean, it's just, there's huge.
Yeah. I mean, and raising grateful children is something that you really want, not entitled, but grateful and saying, hey, I don't deserve good things. And when they're given to me, I'm grateful for them because, again, when we say, well, what do we deserve? Well, in a spiritual sense, we don't deserve anything good, and yet God pours out so many blessings on us. We're sinful and flawed, but we're loved and welcomed. And that gratitude of thank you and please showing some kind of pre-gratitude beforehand, too. I love it.
A lot of mornings before 6 in our call to the day, I like to remind people you're only going to be as joyful as you are thankful. Mm. They are tied together. And we have the please and thank you song from the Singing Walrus, so let's give it a try. So that's about as much of that as I can take, but there's a little bit.
But still, you know what? You have young children. I'm sure they would be mesmerized by it on YouTube. So the Singing Walrus.
You never know what you're going to hear on the Whip Wake Up Show. WWIB, what about our pets? Are they gifted, right?
Yeah, I mean, everyone likes thinking that their child is gifted, and of course they are. They're uniquely created and talented. Is your dog gifted, though? A study finds that some pooches can learn up to 12 new toy names in 1 week and then remember them for at least 2 months, the same rate as a 1-year-old child. researchers spent 2 years searching the globe for ultra-intelligent canines. After an extensive global search, they found just 6 with incredible memory recall skills like that. 2 most intelligent breeds? Any guesses?
No, tell me.
German Shepherds and Border Collies.
Really? Okay.
Some of these dogs...
I gotta say, Aussie Shepherds are really smart.
Well, that's what Athena is, right?
Yeah.
Some of these dogs, again, Border Collies and German Shepherds, could remember up to 100 names of objects for up to 2 months. So, again, it's like, you know, get the ball, get the whatever it is.
Yeah.
But if they name the toys and then say, go get that, they could remember for 2 months. That's more than I could.
We've actually played hide and seek on numerous occasions with Athena. Where basically you run somewhere and then you say go. And then she and this is a 2-story house.
Yeah.
With a basement. I mean, and she's chasing
and she finds
all around. Yes, it's really amazing.
Yeah, I mean, incredibly, incredibly intelligent dogs out there. With apologies to Arlo, I do not think he's one of them. But you know what? He's great with the kids. So
there you go. Hey, we're going to try to finish strong the next 9 minutes.
Will you go talk about me like that?
He listens.
Sorry, Arlo. We love you.